Well, if you will, let's look at chapter number 38. I will take my text from verse number 12. The Bible says, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for all that you've given us in the Word of God. I pray that you'll help us in this time that we have together. Please speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll help us so that we can be receptive to your Word. I pray that you'll help me so that I can deliver your Word as I should. I pray that you'll help us all to apply the Word of God as we should apply the Word of God. I thank you for your blessings to us already up to this point in the service. Thank you for the blessings in the song service. I pray that you'll help us so that we can recognize, and Lord, you know how poorly I do sometimes at recognizing your blessings, but I pray that you'll help us so that we can recognize blessings that you give us, and thank you as we ought to thank you for the blessings that you give us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. I want you to notice once again that text verse. Notice the first part, the Bible says, "Hast thou," and then later on in the verse it says, "caused the day spring to know his place." Hast thou caused the day spring to know his place? I want to preach for a little while on this subject, the ruler of the ruler of the day. I preached already from chapter number 37 on God the commander of the clouds. I preached from chapter 37 on God the cleanser of the clouds. From chapter number 38, the containment of the seas. And you look through these verses in chapters 38 through 41, these verses in which God is speaking, He speaks so much about things in His creation. There are so many things in the creation that should cause us to give praise to God. It should be that we can walk outside and we can look at the great things in the creation. We can look at the sun and the stars and the moon. We can look at the mountains. Then also it should be that we can look at small things in the creation of God and thank God for His creation. Thank God that He is our God. God has done so many things for us. In this particular case, I do want to deal with that idea of the ruler, speaking of God, the ruler of the ruler of the day. The sun, of course, you might say, rules the day. But God is the ruler of the sun. Now notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 12. Once again, the Bible says, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" Of course, the sun rose, the mornings came before Job was born. During Job's lifetime, the sun would rise, the morning would come. After Job died, the sun would rise and the morning would come. And Job had nothing to do at all with telling the sun where it was to be. He had nothing to do with the commanding of the morning. One writer gave these words: "Not only was Job not the director general of the solar movements, but throughout the entire course of his career, he had not been able to impose his authority on the morning light for so much as a single day." And, of course, what was true of Job is likewise true of all. The student of the heavens may contemplate the beauty and investigate the laws of the solar beam, but he cannot hinder it on its mission or turn it aside from its path. He can neither instruct it nor direct it as to when, where, or how it is to shine. It may serve him in obedience to the divine command, which has made all creatures to wait on man, but man cannot make of it his servant in the sense of subjecting it to his ordinances. Thank God the sun is out of man's reach. Man can mess things up, but thank the Lord the sun is out of his reach. There are parts of God's creation that are within man's reach. A man might take a horse and he might harness it. A man might saddle it. A man might ride it. He might use it. But the sun is out of his reach. Thank the Lord the sun is out of man's reach. Selfish men and wicked men might misuse their power over the sun, but God has made sure that man doesn't control the sun. God is in control of the sun. Then notice as well, the Bible speaks in that verse of the day spring. In verse number 16, the Bible speaks of the springs of the sea. If the early morning light, as the dawn breaks, were traced to its source, of course, the source would be found to be the day star. And we might think about the light springing forth from the sun. We might think about the sun as, it might be said, a spring of light. And of course, light, what a wonderful thing it is that God has given us light, both spiritual and physical light. Then notice verse number 13. The Bible says that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now, I want you to notice that this is a continuation of a question that was started in verse number 12. And the continuation, of course, think about a man not commanding the morning and man not causing the day spring to know his place. And then verse number 13, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now, the one writer gave these words, the light of the morning, the enemy of evildoers. John said this, and this is concerning spiritual light, but John gave us these words, and it is the condemnation that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. The sun's light and man's reaction to it is a great picture to us of spiritual light and man's reaction to it. In the book of Job, the Bible says in chapter 24, beginning with verse number 15, the eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through the houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of death. And of course, we might think about spiritual light being shed upon a man, an evil man, not wanting to come to that light, wanting to get away from that light. So often we may see that in the lives of sinners. And then we might also even think about physical light, the sun rising and the thief fleeing away and not wanting to be caught in the daylight. Notice, if you will, in verse number 14, the Bible says, it is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Now, you might think about the clay conforming to a seal, clay conforming to a seal that is to imprint the clay. And whether man likes it or not, men to a large extent conform to the schedule set by God through the sun. Now, even though we've got all the conveniences we have today, we've got electric lights and so on, still, to a large extent, man conforms to the schedule set by the sun. There's still day and night, and so often men's lives are built around the schedule that God has put in His universe. Psalm 104, beginning with verse number 19. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Thank the Lord, God set a schedule with the sun. And as far as the wild beasts are concerned, we might think about the wild beasts, the predators out there being loose in the night, and then the sun rising and predators going into their hiding, man coming forth and going to work. And thank the Lord that we're not out there all the time in the midst of all the four-legged predators. But then as well, there are two-legged predators that come out at night. And you may see a change at night. You may see a lot of crime take place at night. God has set a schedule by the sun. And whether man likes it or not, to a large extent, he conforms to the schedule that God has set by the sun. Now notice in that verse number 14 as well, and they stand as a garment. God clothes a portion of the earth with light, and the earth responds to the light that God gives. Animal life and plant life responds to the light God gives. The countenance of the earth, as it might be said, changes. When the sun rises and shines upon the earth. Then notice verse number 15. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. In the book of Job, chapter 24, verse 13. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. When a sinner rebels against inward light, as a result of that, further light is withheld. The Bible does talk about Jesus Christ. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It is true that the Creator Christ has given all men light to some extent. But so often men reject the light that God gives them. Men have a law written in their hearts. Men have a conscience. God has given them the creation. God has given men light. And of course, even the written Word of God. God has given men light, but so often men reject the light. And as a result of rejecting the light, further light is withheld. Now I want to go back to this idea of the ruler of the day. The Lord chose the sun. In fact, the Lord made the sun to have rule over the day. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. God did not have to make the sun to have light. In fact, the Bible speaks about light. On day one, there was light, there was darkness, there was day, there was night, there was evening and morning. Before there was ever any sun, still, God had already established day and night, light and darkness. Then the Bible tells about the fact that God made trees and grass and herbs. And then finally, the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon, and the stars. God could have light and darkness. In fact, God could have the plants without the sun. But God has made the sun to have rule over the day. We might think about the sun as in authority over the day. But God in authority over the sun. There was a centurion that came to Jesus Christ. And he said, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. The words in the first part of that verse are, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And so we might think about the centurion set in authority, and then having those under him. And the Lord is the greatest authority. He is the highest of the high. And yet he has made the sun to have authority, as it might be said, to rule over the day. But God has control over the sun. I believe the sun is a great instrument that God uses in a variety of ways to deal with men. First of all, let's consider this. God has used the sun to communicate with the whole earth. If you will, turn to Psalm 19, a wonderful psalm. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the Bible talks about the unwritten message of God. And then it also speaks about the written message of God. In the first part of the Scripture, the Bible talks about creation. And then the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, and so on. And thank the Lord that God has given not only an unwritten message, but also a written message. And those messages are in perfect harmony. Now, as far as the unwritten message of God, God has used the Son in a great way to communicate with all of the earth. The Son, I think, is especially used by God. If you were to go to some parts of the world, if you were to go to some island out near the equator, and you were to talk about snow, a person there might say, well, I don't know what snow is. What are you talking about? It might be in their language they would have nothing for snow. But as far as the sun, in all languages, men know about the sun. All men have been influenced by the sun. And the sun is over an authority over all men in all places, in all locations. No matter which language they speak, the sun is in authority, and the sun has had influence upon them. Notice, if you will, in verse number 1 of chapter Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Here we might think about the declaration of the heavens. And then beginning with verse number 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. And so there we might think about the dialect of day and night. Continually, God is speaking, as it might be said. God is sending forth His unwritten message. Globally, God is sending forth His unwritten message. Understandably, God is sending forth His unwritten message. Men in other places speak other languages, can understand the message that God sends forth from the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day uttereth speech, night into night showeth knowledge. And so the Lord is speaking, as it might be said. The Lord is giving that unwritten message, and men of all languages in all locations can understand the basic message that comes from God. But then notice, beginning, I read a portion there in the last of verse number 4. In them He hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Then the Bible goes on to speak about the written message. And so the sun. I know I've referred to this repeatedly, but I believe we might consider the sun a celestial circuit preacher, one that goes across the sky. And from man's viewpoint, of course, the sun goes across the sky time and time again. And the sun declares unto men, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. Men of all languages and all locations, the sun gives that message, there is a God, and He is a God that is in control. We might think about the sun. The sun, as it might be said, ready. The Bible said in verse number 5, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man, running, racing to run a race, and is going forth from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And so We might think about the regiment that the son follows over and over again, going, making that circuit and declaring to men the message, there is a God. Then, number two, not only has God used the son to communicate to the whole earth, God can use the son to confound the whole earth. The Bible talks about Joshua. There was a time in Joshua's life in which there were the five kings of the Ammonites that opposed Israel. And Joshua called out to God, the ruler of the ruler of the day. And when he called out to God, he talked to the Lord about the sun. And God calls the sun to stand still. It's not just simply that Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, but he spoke to God, the commander of the sun. And God calls the sun to stand still. The Bible says in Joshua 10, verses 13 and 14, "So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." We might say the Israelites had a long day. You ever hear somebody say, "Wow, it was a tough at work. I had a long day today." They really had a long day. But then, at other places, they were having a long night. And some folks might have thought, why isn't the sun coming up? Don't you think that as a result of God causing the sun to stand still, it affected the whole earth? Don't you think it probably caused people to be confounded throughout the whole earth? Why is the sun not going down in some places? Why isn't the sun coming up? It's like it's stuck. Why is it doing? I've never seen this in my lifetime. Well, I suspect that as a result of the sun standing still, that folks may have asked questions. There may have been confusion. There may have been curiosity. There may have been questions that arose about the sun. If you were driving down 97 and you ran off the road, ran into a fence post, how many people run off the road on 97? It's just, I don't know what it is about 97. But if you were running down 97, you ran off the road and hit a fence post. Most of us may know nothing about you hitting a fence post off of 97. But if you hit a light pole and all our lights went out, folks may start asking, "What's going on? My light's been off for 2 hours. We're not having a storm. And so why'd the lights go off?" Well, I believe when God dealt with the sun in such a way to make it stand still for such a long time, it probably caused some curiosity, questions to arise. I think it might have been that the story of God's wonderful intervention for Israel may have spread much farther than it would have spread otherwise. Because somebody might have said, "I don't know what happened. Our lights, the sun stayed still for so long." Somebody might say, "Well, I heard over there to the east, there's this man out there fighting with some enemies, and God made the sun stand still." So I think that God was glorified, and greatly glorified. I believe that the word went out farther than it would have went otherwise, because God made the sun to stand still. God can use the sun to confound the whole world. God can use the sun to punish the whole earth. In Revelation chapter 8, and verse number 12, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Imagine if a third part of the sun was darkened, and also of the moon and of the stars, And therefore, there was a pitch blackness during a time because of the darkness of those areas of the sun, moon, and stars. Imagine the chill. I believe there'll be a great chill that comes over the earth because of the sun not shining during a third part. That's a huge part of the time, a third part. And so I believe it's going to make a tremendous difference upon the earth when God does this during the tribulation period. But God is not just going to use the sun to be darkened. But the Bible says in Revelation 16, 8 and 9, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory." I don't know exactly how God will do it, but God will cause the sun to scorch men. I believe that'll get men's attention. Tribulation period is the time which God shall pour out his wrath upon wicked men. And this is one of the things that will happen. The scorching of men by the sun. Now somebody might say, "Brother, you really don't believe that's literal, do you?" Yes, absolutely. I don't use that word much, but I'll use it now. Absolutely. I think that's one of those overused words. But in this case, I believe it is absolutely true. And then, God can use the sun to arrest the attention of the whole earth. I think I've mentioned this lately, but if I was in a very crowded, large, noisy room, and I tried to speak over the crowd, get folks' attention, nobody was listening to me, if I walked over to the light switch and turned it off, folks may pay attention. And when God shuts the lights off, people pay attention. He's done it in the past. The Bible says in the book of Luke in chapter number 23 and verse 44, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." Now Jesus Christ was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning. And then beginning about 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, there's darkness. Not just a local darkness, but I believe the Bible makes it very clear in the book of Luke that it was a darkness that was over all the earth. Don't you think that got people's attention? And I imagine people began to talk and question about the situation. Could you imagine using that as a witnessing tool? Maybe somebody traveling over to some place a distance away and talking to the people about the Lord. And perhaps in the course of talking to them about the Lord, maybe saying, "Do you remember," and calling the date April the 14th. "You remember the date? You remember that time that for 3 hours it got dark?" That person may say, "Oh yeah, I remember. I don't know what was going on, but it went dark. It was really dark. I don't know why it went dark." Imagine a believer saying, "Well, let me tell you. There was one called Jesus, and he went to a cross to die for the sins of men. He died on that cross and paid for your sins and my sins and then rose from the dead, and he lives forevermore." What a witnessing tool that could have been. The time that God made the lights go off. And I think it may have helped. That may have been one of the things that God used to cause the gospel to spread rapidly. But there's coming another time in which the sun shall be darkened. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30, "Immediately after the tribulation of these days." And I do believe that this is going to happen after the 7 years, before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a little time in there. immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Imagine people on the earth at that time. I won't be here. But imagine people on the earth at this time. And as they're going through a day in which the sun's shining as regularly, then all of a sudden it gets dark. It gets pitch black. And then after a while, suddenly the sky is ablaze with the glory of God, and Jesus Christ appears with power and great glory. I believe that'll get people's attention. God is able to use the sun. That darkness before the sky is lit up with the glory of God. I believe that darkness will get people's attention. I came across a story years ago about a parrot. A person had a parrot. And when the cover was pulled off of the parrot's cage, the parrot would say, "Good morning." And then when the cover was put over the parrot's cage, the parrot would say, "Good night." Well, the parrot got in a fight with a cat. And the parrot's cage had been covered. And then the cover was taken off of the parrot's cage, and the parrot said, "Good night." There were no more good mornings for that parrot. He was blinded by the cat. I am going to a place of everlasting light. Everlasting light. God is a light thereof. But anyone that is not saved is going to an ever place of everlasting darkness. There'll be no more good mornings there. In fact, there'll be no more good nights there. Darkness and suffering. It is so important. I've been speaking much about physical light, the light of the sun, but it is so important when a person has the spiritual light, when they have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ, to come to Jesus Christ. Don't delay, but come to Jesus Christ. If a person doesn't receive the light, it can keep them from getting further light, and eventually he'll have no light if he continues to reject. If you will, please stand.